you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Good afternoon and welcome to the Senior Hour, which is sponsored by Providence Holy Cross Medical Center, IMAC Med Spa, and Comfort Keepers in Home Care. I'm Barbara Cochran with my co-host,
Dr. Thomas Palucky,
on your hometown station, 98.1 FM, AM 1220 KHTS. This is a show for, about, and by seniors, giving information to enhance one's quality of life. And our first guest this morning is Nikki Buckstead. She is the CEO at the Child and Family Center.
Well, good morning. Good afternoon.
Yes, it is good afternoon.
Yeah, I am doing well. Thanks for having me.
Well, we are going to be talking about your upcoming
event.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, Taste of the Town.
Yes, yes. An incredible event. Tell us about it.
So Taste of the Town, it's our 34th annual. It will be, I know, that many years. It'll be this Sunday. Tickets are still on sale. VIP ticket sales close tomorrow at noon. So if you want to get your VIP tickets, go to tasteofthetown.com. That will give you an hour early entrance. You'll get preferred parking and a table up front where all the action is with an umbrella. The weather's supposed to be fantastic and beautiful, so we're not too worried about too much sun. And then general admission tickets, that's going to close on Friday at noon. So you have a little extra time to be able to get your tickets for that.
And how long, again, has this been going on?
34 years, minus the year of the pandemic, so yes. That has a little asterisk next to it.
Yes. Yeah. Now, tell us what Child and Family does for this community.
Yeah, great question. You know, Child and Family Center has been around since 1976.
Yes, I know. Yes. I was one of the originators of it.
Yeah.
A long time ago.
That's awesome. And so, you know, a lot of people are familiar with Child and Family Center, but a lot aren't. I feel like when I'm out in the community and I'm talking about us, to some people, it's brand new. They, you know, they don't know the work that we do and where we're located. So there's three main things that we do. Mental health services, primarily for early childhood mental health and teenagers and young adults, and also services with the family. And we also have an outpatient drug and alcohol treatment program, mm-hmm. and that is for teenagers and young adults and adults as well. And then we also have a domestic violence program that includes a domestic violence shelter. And we're Santa Clarita's only DV shelter.
Yes.
And we serve about 900 people each month. And, you know, that just goes to show you that there's so many folks that need to receive services and have services made available to them. We have 150 employees. And so we are very busy supporting our community and the children and families that we serve.
And you've done a wonderful job for as long as, and I used to be on the board on several different occasions.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
And it's just an incredible, incredible facility. It really is.
Yes,
and it has
you.
Done so much good for this community.
Yeah, I often run into people who, you know, where do you work? What do you do? And I'll tell them, they'll be like, oh, yeah, my grandchildren are being served there right now, or my kids are. As a matter of fact, I had a conversation with someone recently, and they said, you know, I had to bring my daughter there a while ago. She had selective mutism. And I thought, wow, I haven't actually heard of something like that. And I said, how is she doing now? And he said, she's fantastic. She just graduated from UCLA. So it's those types of wonderful stories that, you know, we don't always get to hear and know about.
Well, now, what is selective mutism?
Just the inability to talk under all circumstances. Yeah.
Oh, interesting. I've never heard of that phrase before. Have you?
Yeah, I have it.
He's had it for a while now. Yeah, just
I've had it for this show. Yeah. just right now, just I had an episode. So amazing service, child and family. I only really know about it from Taste of the Town.
Yes, yeah.
Because pretty much every year, it is the premier charity event in Santa Clarita, ongoing for a very long time. Yeah. But I really would like to know more. I mean, you just told us about the amazing stuff that you do, but first of all, where is the Child and Family Center, and how do people get there? Like, not for just, like, take the 14 or whatever.
Right.
Like, how do people wind up being served by, what does the process look like?
Yeah, all good questions. So we're located off of Center Point Parkway. We're right down the street from the Hart Unified School District building. We're a big, beautiful brick building. 32,000 square feet is our main campus, and then we have a 4,500 square foot education building on the property as well. So folks that end up getting connected to us for services are those that are the most vulnerable. So they're going to be uninsured or on Medi-Cal. And if they come to us and they are uninsured, we'll work to make sure that they get on Medi-Cal so that they can receive services. Excuse me. So folks can go online, childandfamilycenter.org, and we do have a tab there that says Get Help Now, and there's different ways. So if you're someone that's trying to flee a domestic violence situation, we have a 24-hour DV hotline that folks can call, and we can help immediately. We also have a separate number on our website that folks can call and ask questions about our outpatient drug and alcohol counseling program. And then for our, we have intensive mental health services and outpatient services. There's a form that folks can fill out online, and it'll help determine whether or not you're eligible. If someone ends up at our center, calls or fills out this form and, you know, say they do have insurance, we will help them get connected to their provider so that they can receive services that way. And in our, we have an intensive program where our staff actually go out into the homes of the families and really do intensive therapeutic behavioral services. And so those referrals come directly from the LA County Department of Mental Health. So families can't necessarily self-refer into that program.
Got it. So it's like child services? Am I saying that right? Child Protective Services?
Yeah, we do. Well, we work with foster care, so we have families that are with us that have kids in foster care. And then also, if there's some extreme behavioral or emotional mental health issues, those are usually the ones that come to us through county mental health services.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Great service. Yeah. So, but most importantly, the timing, the reason you're here right now, is because of the event that's coming up this weekend.
Yeah.
Now, I forget, is it on Sunday?
It's on Sunday, May 7th.
On Sunday.
Yes.
So here's an outsider looking in. One of the best, amazing local bands.
Yes.
Great performance all day long. Most of the food that is available in the better restaurants in Santa Clarita is going to be represented there. And there's going to be some alcohol, too, I imagine.
There will be.
there usually is.
There usually is. Yeah. So Mark Levang and friends will be back out again. We know that he is a town favorite, along with the folks he brings. They're all studio musicians.
Yeah, amazing.
Oh, yes.
They're just
incredible.
Terrific. Yeah.
They really are.
So we're
looking
forward to them, you know, kicking off the event and having a fantastic time. And, yeah, this year we have, I think, upwards of 35 vendors, so restaurants, wineries, breweries that are going to be there. And if you'll indulge me, I think I can list them all in under a minute if you want to hear who they are. We have a lot of the same folks that we've had in the past, and then we also have new folks that are joining us, which is really great too, because who doesn't want to try out new tasty goods?
Yeah, so. And it's like Club Med. I mean, once you're through the door, it's you know, it's not like an e-ticket ride. You just go around and sample everything.
Everything that you want that's there, yeah. So it's quite incredible. I'm not really sure that there's another event like this, and it really is tasty. taste of the town, because you're getting a taste of the town, yeah, right? You're getting the best of the best. So Susie B's, Jersey Mike's, Sand Canyon Country Club, Presto Pasta, Family Hicks Winery, Marston's, Wolf Creek, Slater's, Zocco Bar and Grill, PRP Wine, Outback Steakhouse. We have Hyatt Regency, the Blossom Bar and Grill from Embassy Suites, Telco Brewery, Salt Creek, Nothing But Cakes, Clary's Cake and Candy, LJ Lore, winery, another winery, Larson Steakhouse, Olive Terrace Bar and Grill, Jill's Cake Creation. We have coffee, bean, and tea for people that want something other than wine. We'll have some water out there.
You got to pace yourself.
For sure, too.
Event.
Yes.
There you go.
We have the Crematorium. We have Paseo Club in Valencia, the College of the Canyons. Their culinary school will be out there. Cardenas Legacy Tequila, Lucky Luke's, Pocock Brewery, Omaya's Lebanese Cuisine, Anheuser-Busch, Sharky's Woodfire, Mexican Grill, Namaste Spiceland, and Firestone Walker Brewing Company. I probably took more than a minute, but huge shout out to all of those folks who are going to show up and provide all of their great treats and tastes to well over 1,000 people.
Yeah, and it's like tapas. You just go from booth to booth. You get a little... more than an hors d'oeuvre, but certainly less than a meal serving of everything that this town has to offer.
That's right. And you end up stuffed.
So I'm a little disappointed. Stuffed. Maybe I missed it.
Okay.
Is Rita's not going to be there?
And Rita's is not on the list this year. So sorry.
Now, what is Rita's?
The ice, the Italian ice place.
Italian.
Yeah,
ice.
I don't want to dwell on.
Okay, all right. Sorry. But most of those places I've never been to.
Well, we hope you'll be there. And then you can hit every single booth and say that you've been to every single one of them. Yeah, it's a fantastic way to really learn about the great restaurants and breweries and wineries locally and support them, right? And so see what they have on to provide that day, but then go out and see them again.
Yeah, it's great. You find out. You find in... You know, a night out on the town can certainly cost a couple $100
easily.
But this, you're doing the charity event,
right.
It's going to cost, it would cost you that to go to the restaurant anyway, usually.
Absolutely.
But instead, it's going to child and family, and you get to sample everything.
Everything
in town.
And where is it located now?
Blomgren Ranch out off of Sierra Highway.
New locale.
We were there last year. Also, okay. But this is going to be it's a great location. The weather again is supposed to be fantastic, but we'll still have plenty of covered tables and places to sit, and we have amazing auction items this year too, so folks will be able to purchase. We have a silent online auction that's already open. We opened it early so people can go check and start bidding. We've already seen people bid on some great vacations and Dodgers tickets and all types of things. Again, you can go to tasteofthetown.com and it'll lead you straight to that. But at the day of the event, we also have a number six, actually, raffle items, large ticket raffle items. So we will have a stay in Maui at a condo, another condo stay in Cabo San Lucas. What else do we have?
Is that a live auction you're talking about?
So this is going to be the raffle. Our silent auction is all online.
Yes, I've seen that.
So the raffle, you'll be able to buy tickets right there. You'll get 10 for $100 or 3 for $50. The raffle booths will be there. You'll be able to drop your tickets in, and then we'll draw the winner at the end of the day. And Chris Schauble from KTLA 5 will be our MC, and he'll be drawing those winners at about 4:15 p.m.
Okay, so just so I'm clear.
Yes.
There will be a raffle at the event.
At the event, yes.
And there is a silent auction both online and at the event, but there's not a live auction.
There's not a live auction, okay. Correct. Yeah. So
it's just the band.
It's all about the band.
Yeah, I like it better that way. Yeah. Instead of the band, take five. We're going to do this auction now.
We will have our silent auction items at the event so you can see what they are. We'll have a QR code that you'll be able to scan, and it'll take you straight to the auction website so folks can bid while they're there, but at least be able to see the items. We'll keep that auction item site open for a few days after Taste of the Town as well, because you might go home and think, "Wow, I really wanted that item, whatever it was."
Oh, so it's not like at the event is when it's decided it's going to go on after.
It's going to go on. It's actually open already, so folks have already started bidding on some of their favorite items.
I think that's an excellent idea to have it go on after the event.
Yeah.
And can you see like what the current bid is?
Yeah, everybody can go see actually. So it's, you know, it's live in that it's online and it's up to date and, you know, but it's not live as in person and we're drawing names that day. But we did want to give people an opportunity to bid after because like I said, people might say, oh, I really did want that.
Or people who for whatever reason can't be there in real time.
Yes. Yeah. You know, someone like you, since you might not be there this weekend.
Exactly.
Yeah, you can still go on and check it out. And a lot of great items. And we're so appreciative of, you know, all of those folks that donated items. Because all of that money comes back to Child and Family Center and helps us provide additional resources and services. You know, we have contracts and grants through our funders and through the county of LA. And at the end of the day, it still doesn't meet the need and the demand of the services that we need to provide in our community.
It rarely does
for nonprofits. And you know, again, when we're serving over 900 individuals per month, that just tells you what the need is in our community. And you know, it's just increased. It definitely hasn't decreased. It's definitely increased.
Yeah, these are stressful times.
Yes.
Stressful
now,
times.
On the auction side of it, will there be duplicates available if someone buys one? Mm-hmm. Will there be another one available? Do you know if the vendors...
silent auction? So
especially some of those big items like the massive trips.
So two things. So our raffle items that are available that you buy your tickets for at the event, that's you know one and done. So there's not going to be multiple condos in Maui. There would be one opportunity to buy your tickets for that. And the same with our silent auction online. Okay. So everything that's there is what's available. All together, we have 80 silent auction items. Some of them are bundled together. So that was definitely the community members who helped pull all of that together. So we're appreciative of that.
That's terrific.
Yes.
It's going to be a fun day.
It will be, yeah.
And let's hope the weather stays nice.
Yeah, we think it's supposed to be
raining tomorrow, isn't it?
Yeah. So
get it out of the way.
But I think most people would be happier with having low 70s than low 90s.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So. Well, we've seen it both ways.
Yes,
we
and
have.
And the heat is a challenge out there sometimes. So I think it's going to be perfect this weekend for most people.
It'll be amazing. Yeah, for sure.
I miss it. So I guess I did miss last year. Tell me about the new location, because we're also used to going up to, you know, the biotech park.
Yeah, so the new location is really just that. It's on a ranch. It's beautiful out off of Sierra Highway. There will be, plenty of parking. If you're coming, please wear flat shoes. This is not a time for women to think that they need to be wearing any sort of heels.
No heels.
You're
going
to be literally on a ranch, where there's grass. And off in the distance, you'll see, you know, some horses and probably some sheep and maybe some cows and things like that. And they hold a lot of venues, a lot of different types of venues out at Blomgren Ranch. So weddings and other type of nonprofit agencies have also held events out there. So they're ready for us.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So Nikki Buckstead, CEO of Child and Family
Center. Yes. Okay. No worries.
The big event this weekend, yep. The premier charity event in Santa Clarita.
Yes, absolutely.
The Taste of the Town. Tickets are still available online yep. at Child and Family Center.
You can go to childfamilycenter.org or you can go to Taste of the Town. They'll both take you there. VIP ticket sales end tomorrow, Thursday at noon, and general admission tickets end Friday at noon.
Awesome. Thank you so much for coming in. Thank you for providing such amazing services in Child and Family. And I wish I was going to be able to be there this weekend.
Next year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much. You've been listening to Senior Hour, AM 1220, KHTS, FM 98.1, hometownstation.com.
When I'm 64.
Welcome back to the Senior Hour. I'm Barbara Carcone with my co-host, Dr. Thomas Pawlucki, on your hometown station, 98.1 FM, AM 1220 KHTS. And our guest now is the one and only Adam Laraway from Focus Physical Therapy.
Hey, Barbara, how are
you? It's good to see you again.
Good to see you as well.
And I hear you've had another vacation.
Well, I don't know about my
goodness. Well, you know, like I said a little while ago, you only live once.
Exactly.
And you
only
do
live
it.
Once, yeah.
Do it while you can.
Kind of a rare occurrence. Yep. Yep. We have a fun vacation that we would do with a whole bunch of family or friends that is once a year. And so we have a good time with that. And it just happened to coincide with one of vacation I already had set up. So, yeah. So I'm trying to get back to the grind. We just had a great weekend at the Home and Garden Show this last weekend.
Yes.
That was the first time having a booth for Focus Physical Therapy. So that was really, really nice. I got to meet a lot of people, answer a lot of questions, and hopefully we'll get some patients in that need some help. So it was a lot of fun.
Well, did you actually do any physical therapy there?
I did, actually, yeah. I had a few people that got to come and try the newbie out and were just rave reviews. It was pretty funny. I had a nurse that had some shoulder issues, and so we mapped her up real quick and took her through, just probably spent 10 minutes. And she was so excited about that it changed the pain so quickly, she actually called and, like, FaceTimed three different people that were like, I need you to come see this guy. He's going to fix your, you know, whatever ailing body part. So that was a lot of fun.
That's terrific.
That's terrific. Yeah. So it's fun, you yes. know, when you hit those home runs and it's so quick, you know. And
yes.
Sometimes the newbie is. Sometimes it takes a little bit, you know, a little bit longer. Everybody's a little bit different. But, you know, more often than not, you know, patients really feel a difference right away with the newbie, which is really, really cool. And we've talked about the newbie before. It's pulse direct electric current. I'm the only one in Santa Clarita that has it, which is kind of cool. And that really kind of differentiates us from a lot of the other PT clinics in town here and really helps a lot of people. So it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think I'm going to come in and see you.
It's been a lot of fun. It's kind of funny. I had a kind of a cool success story just last week, actually. We had a patient who had a total knee replacement, which a lot of our seniors are having those.
Yes.
And unfortunately, when they came out of surgery, they had some new issues. Something happened during the surgery, and they were having a very difficult time with walking and putting pressure on their legs, a lot of nerve pain, couldn't feel their legs. So I'm not sure what exactly happened, you know, whether it was something from the epidural injection or what, but we put her on a 30-minute master reset and came in the next time and just drastically, all that nerve pain was gone. She couldn't do a straight leg raise, and we'd been trying probably for 6 weeks, and drastically came in, and it was like she'd never lost it. It was really, really cool. So that was kind of a fun experience, kind of a win with a patient that has really done really, really well with it over the time that we've treated her.
Now, do you have mostly elderly patients?
No, we actually see quite a range. You know, I would say probably the youngest that we consistently treat are probably that, like, 6 to 8 year old. We see a lot of kind of, you know, middle school, high school athletes. You know, and then we get a lot of kind of those. We get kind of the whole gamut. We get a lot of, you know, kind of your 30s, your 40s, your 50s. We got a lot, some workers' compensation patients that are injured on the job. So that gives us kind of range of different ages. And then we see a lot of seniors. So I would say we're pretty spread out among all age groups. We really treat a lot of it. So.
Well, it's interesting because, as you see, I use a walker.
Yep, I see that.
I don't try to walk by myself anymore. It's just not worth it because I did fall.
Yep.
And
didn't we give you direct orders for no fall?
Yes. Well, this was quite a while ago.
Okay, okay.
Quite a while ago. But, no, I use that walker all the time.
Yeah.
It's not worth it,
yeah.
You know?
Yep.
Because I'm of an age, if I fall, my bones can crack
absolutely.
So easily and
absolutely.
So quickly.
Absolutely.
You
well,
know?
That's definitely one of the, you know, the biggest risk factors is falling as you get older, because you're exactly right. You're at risk for fracture, and then, you know, then you're down and you don't get
that's,
up. And
that's exactly right. And, in fact, I was at a Soroptimus Zonta function over the weekend, and one of my friends absolutely refuses to use a walker.
Yeah.
She uses a cane once in a while,
but
she's like this, you know. And she fell.
Yeah, and then that can
she
be really
fell, and I, my girlfriend I was sitting with, I said, "Will you take that out and see? If, get her to get up and sit in it," which she did.
Yeah.
Until the paramedics got there.
Yeah.
And they took her to the hospital.
Yep.
And I'm so glad I had it, because she did sit in there.
Yeah.
And wait.
Yeah.
After they got her up off the floor. And put her in that chair and waited for the paramedics, and then they took her over to the hospital.
Scary stuff. It really is. And physical therapy can really help with that. You know, when you come in for an evaluation and we kind of figure out what's going on, you know, we can make appropriate suggestions, whether, you know, it be a cane or a walker or some other type of assistive device. But, you know, for you, the walker gives your hands some more tactile input.
It does. It gives me a steadiness.
Exactly.
You know, and that's what I need.
Absolutely, yeah. And so the more points of reference that you have, with it being your two hands plus your feet, you know, your brain uses that with your different systems for balance, so that you can, you know, have that more input, which allows for better balance, you know.
Yes.
We've talked about in the past how, like, you know, sometimes when you'd get up from, you know, your bed and you would wall walk, you know, and that's because you're getting that input from your hands.
That's,
you know,
right.
And especially, you know, there's three systems that we really look at for balance, which is your vision, your hearing, and then your proprioceptive input through your hands and feet. And unfortunately, what happens when we get older? Our vision gets worse, our hearing gets worse,
and
our joints get more arthritic, so they lose some of those signals. But you can challenge them and make them better, and that's...
Well, I roll myself out of bed to a sitting position. I've got a side table here, and I've got one over here, and then I hold on to the wall in the bathroom, and
don't really
the sink.
recommend.
But you have to be careful.
You know? When you do that, you're getting more input. You're giving your brain input by touching those surfaces.
Yes.
You're giving your brain more points of reference, and that's why it feels more secure.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And it really makes a big difference.
Yeah.
Really does.
It really does. It really does.
But my kids both tell me, "Mother, use that walker everywhere you go."
Yep, exactly. The nice thing, too, where you've got the four-wheeled walker is that it does have a chair, you know, and so that if you say you're walking around a store or something like that and you get tired and need a break, you've got the chair right there.
That's right.
Versus if you've got a cane, that doesn't work so well. You've got to find some place to sit and take a break.
That's
so sometimes
right.
The walker is appropriate, for sure.
Well, Jerry Cerati Goldman has loaned me that walker.
Yep.
Because Carl used to use it.
Yep. The other thing, too, with physical therapy is really helpful is when you get like a walker or a cane, is we do adjustments to make sure that they're the right height, because, you know, sometimes people will come in and they're not adjusted correctly, and then they start to get some neck pain because they're being, you know.
That's right. They're over like this.
So, you know, that's, again, where making sure that you, when you do use those assistive devices, that they're set up correctly so that you're getting
you're standing up straight.
Exactly. And you're
exactly.
not causing more issues. So.
Yeah. And that makes a big difference, doesn't it? Because it affects the back.
Sure. I like the walking sticks better, like hiking sticks.
Yeah.
It's a more dynamic input, like you were talking about, like the proprioceptive input, which is a big word that just means that you feel it more in more places in your body, so your brain can process the information better.
Yeah.
And you're not hunched leaning forward. And what we like about dynamic interaction is it stimulates it a little bit more intensely instead of just, you know, a solid thing that you're leaning on. This thing is moving with you.
Right.
More like your body should work.
Yeah. And especially with you know, the walking stick is great because, you know, it's much harder to put your full body weight through that. It's more of, you know, what a cane is actually is supposed to be used for. I get nervous when people have their cane and they'll actually lower it because they want to put more body weight through it.
Yeah, that's asking for trouble.
And that's actually more of a risk of falling, you know. And the other kind of big misconception is people think, okay, well, my right knee is one that hurts, so I need the cane on that right side. But you actually want it on the opposite side.
The opposite side, that's right.
Because that creates a tripod, which is much more stable and a wider base of support. Versus, say, if you've got it on the right side and your right knee's the problem, your base of support is very, very narrow. Plus, that gets you leaning away from your midline, which is going to not help you as much. But
yes, that's
we see
right.
that a lot. So I remember there was when I was – I think it was actually when I was in physical therapy school – the TV show Frasier, they always use the cane on the wrong side, and so we always kind of use that as a guide of like, okay, somebody needs to teach these guys how to use this device. So it was kind of funny.
Oh, I never watched that show,
that
so
show?
I
yeah.
watched
yeah.
talking.
He always. I can't remember.
Now,
the
are you talking about having two sticks?
You can certainly. That's going to give you more support, as Adam was saying. I would recommend that you had to, instead of just using it like a cane, because as Adam said, you do have an extra point there. 3 points of contact is the basic rule. If you're a climber, I mean, that's not necessarily for seniors, but if you like to free climb up the face of a rock somewhere, 3 points of contact is the rule. Like, you don't want to be in a position where you only got two, because that could be very dangerous. So 3 points of contact is a general rule in making your body work properly. But 4 is not worse. 4 is definitely a safer, more stable platform, especially if you're doing something dynamic like a stick instead of something more rigid like a cane. I don't like canes. I'm not a fan of canes. And the walkers, you've got to be real careful with as far as getting you up high enough, as Adam was talking, because as soon as you start leaning into that thing, it's creating a whole new set of problems for you.
That's why I had to heighten this thing so that I can stand up straight.
Yeah.
Yep. And that's the other thing, too, we do teach, you know, because a lot of times people want to push the walker, and so then that gets them leaning forward.
That's right.
And that's exactly what Dr. Palaki was saying, is that's actually more of a fall risk, because say you're going down, say just, you know, say a decline of a driveway ramp or something like that. If you're not in good balance and you're pushing it and it's out in front of you, there's a chance that it gets away from you, and now all of a sudden, boom, you're falling flat on
your
face.
That's right. And I have one of those driveways,
yep.
and
yep.
I have to be very careful.
Exactly, yeah.
And I'm always watching for it, because that's the last place I want to fall is on the driveway.
Exactly, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And even with, you know, when you're not with the four-wheel walker, you know, when it's just got the front wheels, you know, making sure that patients are walking up in the walker and not walking it without in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big kind of critique that we have to work on with for safety, so for sure.
Yeah, well, I've seen several people I know use a walker. But it's down so low that they're walking like this.
Exactly.
And I'm and I've made a suggestion to a couple of them.
Yeah.
Pull those handlebars up so you're standing up straight.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
have less tendency to fall or for the walker to run away from you.
And Adam makes a great point. It's falling isn't the only risk there, though.
No.
Your head weighs about the same as a bowling ball. As soon as you start leaning forward and your head starts going out in front of your shoulder line, the middle of your shoulder line, you are really off balance, not just for a fall, but as far as the stress and strain on everything in your neck, in your shoulders, which are already being stressed, trying to hold on to that walker. And that translates all the way down through your hips, through your knees, into your feet. It's called center of pressure, and there are great studies, published studies on center of pressure and how critically important it is to have a balance where your foot is actually holding your body weight is critically important, not just to your safety, but to the wear and tear on your body overall.
Absolutely. Yeah, because the more forward you get, the more you've got to lift your head up to see where you're going, which is going to put your neck in more extension, which compresses those joints, and then you're compensating.
And you've got more tendency to fall.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, they're good devices, but you have to use them correctly.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
I would agree. It's amazing what our body needs from us.
Right.
Yeah.
You know. And many people don't realize that.
Well, thankfully, most of it's on autopilot. And we take everything for granted until it's not, until something goes horribly wrong. Mm-hmm. When you have special circumstances, like you need some assistance for stability, you want to make sure that it is actually stable.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then throwing in addition with that, you know, obviously when somebody's balance is off, you know, physical therapy, we want to figure out why. You know, we want to figure out, is it because of weakness? Is it because of, you know, proprioceptive issues? So that's definitely where people coming in for the evaluation, we figure that stuff out, and then we can do different activities to facilitate that and work on the strength and work on the balance. And that's where we really help people so that, you know, potentially either we get them safer with the device or potentially we get them strong enough that they can get rid of the device. You know,
yes.
I know there's kind of a stigma. People are like, I can't use a cane. I can't use a walker. That means I'm getting old. And it's like, well, but if it's appropriate, then you need to use it. And safety is your most important part.
That's true. And that's why my girlfriend... That's why she fell, but she refuses to use a walker. Yeah. And I'm thinking, you know, that is so stupid.
Yep.
It really is.
Yeah. Yep.
And anyway, we need to take a break, don't we? I'm Barbara Cochran with my co-host, Dr. Thomas Pilecki, on your hometown station, 98.1 FM, AM 1220 KHTS. When I'm 64. Welcome back to the Senior Hour. I'm Barbara Cochran with my co-host, Dr. Thomas Pilecki, on your hometown station, 98.1 FM, AM 1220 KHTS. And we're speaking with Adam Larraway of Focus Physical Therapy. Okay, take it away, kid.
I just wanted to talk a little bit about Focus. You know, we've got two other physical therapists, Tiana Garcia and Rebecca Reynolds, and then a PT assistant, Rachel Grudzian. And I just love my staff. And my patients love our staff as well. You know, we really try and kind of provide the best physical therapy in the valley, and you get to see those therapists every single time. We don't really use aids like a lot of clinics do. Which is pretty refreshing. And we get a lot of really positive feedback from patients when they come and they've had experiences elsewhere and they're like, oh my gosh, this is totally different. So,
and they are physical therapists.
Two physical therapists, actually three including myself,
yes.
And then one physical therapy assistant. So yeah, there is a difference. A physical therapy assistant has a 2-year degree. They're licensed. They have to sit for the boards. They can do everything that a physical therapist can do, but they cannot do the evaluation.
I see. Now, is your assistant planning to become a physical therapist?
Nope. Or she wants to stay PT assistant. That's what she went to school for, yeah. And then there's a third kind of subcategory called PT aide / PT techs, but they really only have on-the-job training. So they usually have a high school diploma, and then they learn the exercises. There is a 6-week kind of trade school program that they can get certified in, but my experience with that is it's not the best training. They do better with on-the-job training, looking at compensations from trained by the therapist. But we really don't use aides. We have two front desk people that kind of double as aides. They really just bring the patient back, get them started on a warm-up equipment, and then they're with the physical therapist or physical therapy assistant the rest of the time, which is pretty refreshing because a lot of PT clinics, unfortunately, just use aides, and that's really not what physical therapy is supposed to be.
I see. So much in not just physical therapy, but in all of healthcare is automated system, just check the box, both in the diagnosis and in the treatment, which is a little scary.
Yeah.
And the difference that you find in a functionally based, regardless of whether it's pharmaceutical, whether it's some kind of physical treatment like what you and I both have dedicated our lives to, the functional is a much more personal approach as far as not just, okay, I'm doing functional medicine. Right. I've seen so many people come in with functional medicine that are all automated systems. They're check the box. Like the literal, the handouts that these doctors give are the same regardless of what the labs show.
Yep.
And I'm like, how could you call this functional? This is not even, you know, appropriate.
Absolutely.
And you see the same thing. But what I love about what you're doing is it is functional. I mean, you don't necessarily market to that, but your focus is restoring function as opposed to just another check the box pain management, which you see so much in so much of healthcare. I don't want to isolate anybody, but you and I both know that it happens way too much.
Yeah.
Out there.
Exactly.
And I'm so thrilled that you're my neighbor.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. I agree 100%. You know, I mean, that's really why, that's why we call it focus, is it's focused on the patient care.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you see a therapist, we're constantly assessing every time you come in. Even when we do the evaluation the first visit, we're constantly assessing how you're responding to treatment. And if we're not going in the right direction, then that means we need to go in a different direction. And it drives me nuts when patients come in and, you know, they've been elsewhere and they say, oh, yeah, I've done, you know, my exercises, and they do the same exercise every single time, you know, three sets of 10, and there's no change, there's no adjustment, and they're not any better.
Yep.
And it's like, well, where was the therapist to assess that plan? And they're not there. They don't see them. And so it's been very refreshing to get that feedback from patients that, oh, my gosh, you guys are a different type of clinic, which is really what I started this whole clinic for. So that's what we're really trying to strive for, is to focus on that patient care and help people get back to what they want to do. That's what physical therapy is supposed to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, well, what is the education requirement? Just briefly.
So physical therapy, now you have to have a doctoral program. So they have to have their undergraduate degree. It can be in just about anything as long as they've got all the prerequisites with, you know, anatomy, physiology, that type of stuff. And then most schools are a three-year doctoral program. I've been around for 23 years, so I have a master's of physical therapy. I was grandfathered in because I graduated back in 2000. I'm not sure if I want to say that. But, you know, so it's interesting. I actually was on the board when I was a third year of our program. Actually, in 2004 was our first doctoral program. So I was on that board to help the transitional program. So all the PTs coming out are doctors of physical therapy. There are still some of us that have been around for a while that are masters of physical therapy.
I see.
Yes.
I see. That's very interesting.
Yeah, so Adam, thank you so much for coming in. Focus physical therapy. Mm-hmm. But besides what I really appreciate about what you're doing there, which is the functional rehabilitation, which I think is what every doctor, regardless of what school they graduated from, should be doing, period.
Yeah.
But your bright and shiny is the newbie.
Exactly, yep.
And that's certainly got a lot of well-deserved attention.
Yes.
And we're glad to have you here. Real quick, give me your contact information, please.
Our phone number is 661-255-4205. And our website is www.focusptscv.com. And we are located at 25050 Peachland Avenue, Suite 205 in Newhall.
Best place in town.
There you go.
You've been listening to the Senior Hour, KHTS FM 98.1 AM 1220, hometownstation.com. Now go out and enhance your quality of life. We're sponsored by iMac Med Spa, Providence Holy Cross, and Comfort Keepers. We'll see you next week.